the What I Watch Tonight show.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to Pottercast from What I Watch Tonight. All Potter, all the time. My name is still Matt Hudson, and joining me once more from across the world is my Kiwi Budsy, queen of social media marketing, somebody preparing for a festive season full of ramen noodles in bed, lots of booze, and man, does she feel like a woman?
Morgan McGregor!
Woohoo! How you doing?
Man, I do feel like a woman. For context, everyone, I just went to the Shania Twain concert, so it's not just a random point.
No, I'm not playing up to any feminism there. She did go to see Shania Twain. And since seeing it on her Instagram story, no word of a lie, all I can think of in my head is bam, bam, ba-da-da.
Honestly, bam, bam. The moment where, like, the lights were dark and everyone was like, oh, and then, like, the lights came on, she's just like, man, I feel like a woman. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so ready. And then it was all, let's go, girl. And I was like, yes, let's go, girl.
Anyone out there doesn't know Shania Twain, YouTube, man, I feel like a woman, and just glory. And it's, is it 90s beauty?
Honestly, I would have been so young. I didn't realize how young I was when that came out, because it was still so popular when I was...
Oh, I do.
Yeah, so, well, she was saying, oh, this song was for the, not for Man, I Feel Like a Woman, it was for one of her other songs. She's like, oh, this song is 21 years old. And I was like, holy shit, I was three.
There answers my question, and she's from the 90s. I'm not a million miles older than Morgan, for anyone out there. I'm not like a 50-year-old guy. But I remember them being on the radio over here all the time. Shania Twain was the shit over here.
Oh, and the amount of people at that concert who were wearing all leopard print was just amazing. All leopard print, cowgirl hats in leopard print, jackets in leopard print, boots in leopard print. I saw a man wearing a three-piece suit that was in leopard print. It was fantastic.
Well, I feel like a woman now, man. So, well, I certainly hope you had a good time.
I had a fantastic time. Yes, it was amazing.
Awesome.
It was a gift from my auntie, actually, because she couldn't make it. So,
Auntie McGregor, well done.
Yeah.
I'm just reveling in the cold Christmas spirit, festive spirit over here in the UK. But on that note, this is Pottercast. It's our regular show where we discuss anything and everything from the Wizarding World. So far, we've gone through the entire movie saga. We've dived into Draco Malfoy and all of his deep, dirty bits. But tonight we're covering something slightly more magical and wondrous. Professor McGregor, please enlighten us on tonight's topic.
Tonight's or this morning's topic is a very Potter Christmas. We thought it would be only fitting that it's Christmas time, and we've multiple times mentioned that Harry Potter, at least the first few films, are very Christmassy movies. And so today, we're going to go into that.
Exactly. A very Potter Christmas. It's the time of the season. Come on, everyone's happy. And even if you don't like Christmas, just like it for the next hour or so. There's something about Christmas which brings out the child in me. I've always loved it. And even now, in my early 30s, I still love Christmas. So the idea to do this, it was Morgan's idea, and I jumped at the chance. So before we get into it, you do like Christmas, don't you?
I love Christmas. I'm huge on Christmas. And I have two nephews and one niece, and I just love buying them gifts. It's like the best thing ever. I think Christmas with kids is like the best way to do it if you have kids around you, because they're just loving life. So, yeah, I love Christmas.
Yeah, unless they're noisy and smelly. But my daughter isn't noisy. Actually, she's noisy, but she's not smelly.
They're not mine, though, so, like, I don't have to deal with the noise and smell part. I just get to be the fun, cool auntie who brings gifts.
And gingerbread men, roller skates. It sounds awesome. Yep. I love gingerbread men. Did I see that you put some gingerbread men online recently?
I made a gingerbread Christmas tree.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, and I do it every year, except one year I stuck my finger in a blender and I did something that's called degloving your hand, which is like if you can imagine peeling off a glove.
Idiot.
Yeah.
God's sake.
In my defense, I was super tired because I'd stayed up for a midnight screening of The Force Awakens came out. Stayed up. We watched all the Star Wars films, including, regrettably, the holiday special. And then we went and watched The Force Awakens, and I was god tired. And so the gingerbread got stuck in the blender, and I was like, oh, I'll just scoop it out while my finger's on the button.
And now Morgan only has 9.5 fingers.
It's bad. But anyway.
So for all this talk of Morgan's socials, as per the usual, we will chuck out our links at the end of the show. So do go out and check out Morgan's mini finger and her Christmas treats. But a very Potter Christmas. It's something everybody talks about. Die Hard. Oh, is Die Hard a Christmas film? Get lost with your Die Hard. We're here about Potter. Are the Potter films Christmas films to you?
The Potter films are 100% Christmas films to me because, well, and the Star Wars films, but this isn't your Star Wars podcast. But the Potter films are just, well, the first few, they're so Christmassy. And I think it's because every year at Hogwarts, they make sure to make a point in the books and movies of Christmas. It doesn't get glossed over. You know it's happening. So there's always a Christmas in the films, I think.
Yeah, they're running through every Potter film in the over here in the UK around Christmas time. I think they're starting sometime this week or end of the week. They're playing all of them in the run-up to Christmas. So for me, that kind of cements it now as a Christmas saga. Yes. And I do believe Netflix is putting the Potter films on. I don't know if it's before Christmas or after, but I know they're getting all of them around the festive season.
Yeah, because in New Zealand, they only have like one of them. Is that the same in the UK?
I don't think we have any of them on Netflix. Somebody will tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think we have any of them on Netflix at all. They're on, I think they're just coming on, you know, your basic main four channels. So we have Sky and everything over here, but cable, whatever you want to call it, satellite. But I think they're just showing them on one of the main channels. But hell, I'll be there to watch all of them. And you mentioned those first few films, and every film in the Potter saga has Christmas somehow, even in the darkest, dreariest times, apart from the last one. Literally, there's Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, yeah, no, because they split it into two, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing Christmassy about that is Harry and Voldemort at the end, they're dueling with green and red, which is like Father Christmas elves tights or something like that. But especially those first three, would you say, possibly?
I would say the first three, yeah.
What makes them? Why are they Christmassy films? Because to me, they just feel just festive.
To me, they feel jingly jangly, and I don't think that's a real way to describe anything, but I'm going to use it.
Jingle jangle.
It just feels like, ooh, like I think it's partly the music. Like the music is really like, I don't know, the music's upbeatish and it's jingly music, which is like fitting for Christmas. You could play that music around Christmas and it would make sense. And it looks cold as balls, which I guess just comes down to the fact that it's in England. Like there's trees everywhere, there's a fireplace everywhere, and it just looks really Christmassy. Like if you took the same Hogwarts setting and you were like, I'm gonna make a shitty Netflix Christmas movie, they'd be like, this is the perfect location, bang on, you did it, you'd be able to do a Christmas Half-Blood Prince or something.
Well, it's not always that snow in England, which is a shame. I wish it was.
No, but I'm pretty sure it's cold all the time in England, except when you guys are complaining about a heat wave.
Things, we get a heat wave, and I don't know what unit of temperature the New Zealand use, but over here, it's Celsius.
Celsius.
Thank God for that. When it gets to
you guys colonised us. Come on.
Oh yes, we are the chuckling puppeteers.
I am a white person in New Zealand, so technically I colonised us.
Boo. When it gets to about 22 degrees over here, we all start fawning and melting and taking sickies because it's too hot. If it looked like
it was 24 degrees yesterday.
Oh, that's too hot for me. Too hot for me. If it looked like that, if it was snowed like that all the time over here, I'm in. But for me, it's the music, obviously, for one. John Williams, yeah. Majestic score. And of course, you've got the obvious Christmas at Hogwarts as part of the soundtrack. Harry's Wondrous World, Nocturne Alley. There's another one, Double Trouble, I think it might be called, which just smacks of Christmas. And it's not just that, it's just the little ditties and the little motifs you hear throughout. There's just something about John Williams, because I could have a whole podcast about what John Williams has done for film, just the soundtracks he's given us. But
easily.
Yeah, even as it's Christmas, immediately think of Home Alone, you think the music in that makes the film even better. For these films, John Williams has just sprinkled his magic over it, and it just works. Obviously, the visual styles, like you mentioned. And the other films, the four subsequent films after, do have a playful-like quality. But these first three really do have that fun, childlike quality. Because it's our introduction to Hogwarts as well. So we're kind of sharing their characters all. And it's that, I mentioned it in the reviews we did of all of the films. And especially the first three films, I mentioned that they're kind of very much films aimed at children in a way, and it captures that spirit in it. And just in the Philosopher's Stone, you've got Hagrid dragging the Christmas tree, the massive Christmas tree, through the snow.
I love that scene.
Phileas Flitwick decorating the tree. You've got the Hogwarts Christmas Carol, which we have got the lyrics for. It's just everything about that, especially that first film, it's just like a beautiful Christmas film rolled into one. It's just, I'm already gushing already, but especially that first film, it's just Christmas in a kid's film for me.
Yeah, it really, really is. I love it so much. I think, the music, the location, just the whole thing that they're doing. And I think, even though only like a few scenes are Christmas related, the whole thing feels like a Christmas movie, especially in the Philosopher's Stone. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chamber of Secrets, you get the indoor snow falling and the horse-drawn characters crashing through the snow, which is stunning. And in Azkaban, you get you get a few shots of the owls flying through the snow, and Harry in his invisible cloak lobbing snowballs at Draco, which is good fun. So those first three films, obviously primarily that first one just smacks of Christmas. And in all of the other films, apart from DH Part 2, but you still get Christmas in there, which we are going to go into. But I just thought those first three films particularly were just, Christmas films to me.
Definitely, yeah. And I think the fact that there's food everywhere all the time in Hogwarts.
Oh, God.
Constantly. And that's what Christmas is about, right? That's the spirit of the season, is stuff in your face.
Yeah, family, festivities, stuff that. Give me the food. Give me all the food.
It's embarrassing how much Christmas chocolate I've eaten already.
So. I had some before I came on air tonight, so I'm a... I feel fat, man, I feel like a fat git. But the books say that the Hogwarts Christmas feast, and I quote Rowling verbatim, 100 fat roast turkeys, oh, mountains of roast and boiled potatoes, oh, platters of fat chipolatas, good God, tureens of buttered peas, silver boats of thick, rich gravy and cranberry sauce, and I'm dribbling already.
Yeah,
And they can make the food just reappear willy-nilly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how everyone in Hogwarts isn't just rolling around all the time.
Because JK rolling around.
Because I would be bad.
Oh, it's my dream to have that. And obviously one, Ronald Weasley, certainly partook in the food. But in terms of the books, do they go into the Christmas spirit more, or is it kind of same level as the films?
I would say in the first two movies, it's the same level. In the third movie, you miss quite a few scenes of Christmas. You miss Christmas Day, which there's only about 13 people left in Hogwarts. And so they all sit around one table, and like it's Harry, a couple of weird students, and like Professor Trelawney and Dumbledore.
A couple of weird students.
And it's very funny. It's a great scene, which I think would have been really cool in the movies, but I think it would have been hard to pull off. So yeah.
I just wonder, because we mentioned before that in the books you can really dive deep into some stunning descriptions, and I know how they described the the Great Hall with its 12 trees and just everything about it. And they did, I think, do a really good job of bringing that to life in the films, I think.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. I think it would have been hard to show a scene with that giant flipping room and have about 13 people and sitting around the table eating a couple of like turkeys and doing Christmas crackers.
I'd have liked to have known who the weird students you alluded to were.
I wish I could remember them. I think there were a couple of Hufflepuffs, a Slytherin. It was just like a smattering of like background characters, not weird like they were weird people. Just, you know, random characters that you would have heard of in passing in the books, but they're just, you know, they're just the losers who had to stay back for Christmas. And I think they ask them why they had to stay back, and you know, there's a snotty Ravenclaw who has, you know, just weird stuff like that.
Okay, I just wondered when you said weird kids, how weird could they get in the first book?
The weirdos. Not the weirdos,
not those kind of weirdos, but yeah, I mean, that's why we think those first few films are Christmas films. We are going to mention the other ones going forward, but we thought it would be quite fun to dive into Harry himself and his three best and worst Christmases, because like we're saying, the books seem to have Christmas stamped all over them, and the movies is in one way or another, whether it's a quick scene here, a quick mention there, or an entire ball about it. But in terms of the three best and worst, should we go best or worst first? Ladies choose.
Let's do his best. Come on, let's be nice.
Okay, well, you lead off then. So what do you think, what are your opinion on his three best Christmases?
I think easily the best Christmas he had was the first one. Mm-hmm. And that's because, and I'm really sorry for people who haven't read the books, but I think in this section I'm gonna kind of mix the two together.
Yeah, go for it.
In the first year, it's his first time having an actual Christmas, which is just so nice for him to have. You know, Ron stayed back to spend time with him. He gets actual presents for once. He has a Christmas feast, but he also gets the invisibility cloak. And I think it's just this magical day for him where he finally gets to experience what kids everywhere else have been able to experience that he hasn't. And the best thing about it is that he's expecting nothing. He's waking up on Christmas Day honestly just like excited to eat the Christmas feast, and that's all he thinks about. And so he looks over at Ron, and he looks over at Ron's pile, and he's excited to see what Ron got, and Ron's like, mate, you've got your own. And he's like, what? I have gifts. And it's just so nice. Like, I think that you can't beat that, because it's like your first time, you know, you can't beat the first time you experience Christmas. So I think that's obviously his first. I think the next best that he has is the third year, where he gets his firebolt. So in the movies, I know that he gets it at the end of the year when he knows that it's from Sirius. But in the book, he gets it for Christmas and they don't know who it's from. And it's obviously Sirius just feeling bad that he broke his Nimbus 2000 when he scared him during the Quidditch match. But they don't know that, and so they're worried that it might be cursed. So he gets to take him off him, but for like one short minute, he gets a firebolt for Christmas, which is awesome. He also has that weird Christmas table situation with like 12 other people, with Trelawney making really bizarre comments the entire time. And they're opening Christmas crackers, and instead of normal Christmas hats that we get with, like, you know, the little paper crowns, they get, like, Dumbledore gets, like, a giant pointy purple wizard's hat with yellow stars on them, like exactly what you would picture a wizard would wear. And Snape gets a giant hat with a bird on it, which looks like what Neville's grandmother wears, which is hilarious because when Neville was scared of the Boggart, he turned Snape into wearing his grandma's clothes with that same hat. So it was just hilarious. And Harry gets like a couple of mice, which he's pretty sure Mrs. Norris eats by the end of the night. So I think all in all, pretty decent day for him. And then the fourth one would have to be the Yule Ball, because that's just exciting. I think having all those different schools there, and I mean, he's going through a pretty shitty time that year, but like you get to have a ball with your friends. And in terms of Harry Potter, you got to grab at straws for things that are fun by that point of the books and the movies. So,
or things no one that died. Made him happy.
No one died.
I definitely agree with the first one for the Philosopher's Stone. For pretty much everything you've mentioned, mainly because it's his first Christmas away from the Dursleys, and he's not getting dog biscuits and stuff like that for presents and toothpicks. But like you mentioned, it's his first proper Christmas meal, his first real gifts, and it's his first Christmas with friends and kind of an extended family, and it's before the dark times. So it's kind of it's and then like you say, when he's like, I've got gifts, I've got presents, it's just that kind of like you said, that naivety, that innocence, and it's really sweet to see. And obviously then you get to see Ron wear that not awful Christmas jumper as well. Yes. But that I think that would have to be number one for almost everybody. I can't think of anybody who wouldn't put that as number one in their list.
Yeah.
I've gone for something slightly different for number two, and coming out of left field a bit more, I've gone for the Deathly Hallows when he finally sees his parents' grave, not because he's seeing their grave, but it's that moment. He sees it for the first time. And
he gets to go back home.
Exactly, excuse the pun, but it snowballs into the end game from there onwards. Obviously, getting attacked by Nagini wasn't particularly very festive, but it's again the snow's falling in, and
it's Godric's Hollow, isn't it?
It's a very Christmassy scene, but it's just the moment for him. He's back home for the first time, seeing his parents' grave. He's stoic till the end, no tears. And it's just Merry Christmas, Hermione. Merry Christmas, Harry. It's very solemn, but there's something about that scene which, to me, starts to really make Harry as a character. He now knows the stakes, if you will. This is it. So, gone obviously from the Philosopher's Stone, which is his first Christmas, and it's a happy time. And for the Deathly Hallows, I've put best in terms of building him as a person. And for the third one, I've been a bit more flippant. I've gone for All of the Phoenix because he gets a snog from Cho Chang. it was a wet kiss, as he said. But again, it's that development for him. He's growing up. He gets to play a bit of tonsil tennis and have a bit of tongue. And wherever it went in the end. But it's just another part of his development. So for all of the ones you've said, I totally agree with. And I've gone with those three for different reasons, but they really stuck out to me. So on the flip side, a lot of the time with Harry, he's either someone's trying to kill him or trying to kill people he knows or just basically make his life a misery. So the worst Christmases for Senor Potter, fire away.
So speaking of Order of the Phoenix, that's his worst Christmas. I think snogging Cho Chang, definitely a highlight for him, despite the fact that she was crying the whole time. But then, he goes to bed and then Arthur Weasley gets attacked.
Yes, that's right. Visions, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the same night. And that's pretty shit. I was pretty shit to have a dream where you watch your best friend's dad get attacked. And then to not only find out that he was attacked, but also that you have a link with the Dark Lord that makes you see stuff.
Shit.
And you're not sure if the guy's going to live. And also Dumbledore won't look you in the eye. And also you have to spend time with Snape in the coming weeks. I mean, it's pretty rough in terms of Christmas.
It's like your ideal Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that was his worst. The second one, I actually went for the Deathly Hallows because I forgot about that beautiful scene. All I could think about was Bathilda Bagshot turning into Nagini.
Oh, yeah.
And his bond breaking. So I was like, in terms of Christmas, it's probably not that great.
Everything before that.
Everything before that was great, and then a lady turns into a snake, so that was rough. And then the third one would have to be, and this is loosely one of his worst. I would say it's not actually that bad, but in the second year when they tried Polyjuice Potion to go talk to Malfoy, and Hermione gets absolutely fucked up because she had cat's hair instead of a human. I'd say that was probably on Hermione's worst Christmases, but Harry had to watch, and that's still pretty rough, I would say.
Hilarious,
he did get
though.
Hang out with Draco, which was fun, and before that they had the feast, which is always good. So,
yep, I've gone for those films are on my list. I've gone for The Prisoner of Azkaban simply because Harry isn't in the best of spirits when they go to Hogsmeade the day before the holidays start for them, he discovers, you know, obviously that Sirius betrayed his... Well, he thinks and discovers that Sirius betrayed his parents by telling Voldemort where they were. It was his godfather and their most trusted friend sold them out to Voldemort, which obviously led to them being killed and, well, the events of the story. So, obviously, as the film went on, that got resolved. But at the time, that probably messed Bent Potter's head a hell of a lot.
Plus,
he got the issues with Buckbeak, my favourite person. He's going to be put down for something he didn't do, for taking a chunk out of Malfoy. There's that going on. But mainly with what went on with Sirius, allegedly. Chamber of Secrets, yeah, accused of being the heir of Slytherin because of his sudden use of parcel tongue. And the rumours of the Chamber of Secrets kind of put a bit of a downer on the whole Christmas spirit. All of the things went for the same. And also just added that you've got Dolores Umbridge sodding about, just pissing everybody off, which is not going to make anybody's Christmas great. But yeah, Dumbledore giving him the silent treatment. And I've also mentioned the Half-Blood Prince for the Yule Ball, because it kind of highlighted his lack of charm with the chicks. He doesn't have the best of time as he's sitting there, him and Ron.
You can't be everything, you know? Like, you can't be the boy who lived and, you know, one of the heroes of the tournament and be good with ladies. I think that's too much power for one man to
have. We mentioned in our Half-Blood Prince pod, I think you mentioned actually, that Harry and Ron have these two most beautiful girls.
They really let
it all go to waste. And
they have the most beautiful girls in the whole school.
Exactly.
And
they fucked up. Yeah, nice one, Potter. Your chosen one. But mainly those first three, Azkaban, Chamber of Secrets, and Order of the Phoenix. And again, the ones that you mentioned, mainly Potter's Christmases have been sprinkled with misery and torment. But the ones where it goes well, they are really nice to see.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Before we get into the next part, I thought it would be a bit of fun if Morgan sings the Christmas at Hogwarts carol.
I was hoping you would forget about it.
No, I'll cue up the music. Ready? I'm just kidding.
I get to just say it, right? I don't have to sing it because I think that everyone would like lose their hearing if I had to sing.
Let's do it. Two lines at a time then. Everybody, this is the Christmas of Hogwarts carol. This is what is sung booming through the great halls of Hogwarts. Better than we're going to do.
Yes, some people actually can sing. I'm going to speak it. Sorry, everyone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Ring the Hogwarts bell.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Cast a Christmas spell.
I'm not kidding. Do I have to keep going?
Yeah.
Have a wondrous wizard Christmas. Have a merry Christmas day.
Move around the sparkling fire. Have a merry Christmas day.
That's a lot of repetition. Find a broomstick in your stocking. See the magic on display.
Big stocking. Join the owls joyous flocking on this merry Christmas day.
Ding dong, ding dong. Ring the Hogwarts bell.
Ring the Hogwarts bell. Ding dong, ding dong.
Oh, well. Cast a Christmas spell. Ding dong, ding dong.
Make the Christmas morning bright. Fly high across the sky.
Light the Christmas night. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Ring the Hogwarts bell. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Wow, J.K. Rowling was not a lyricist.
Lyricist.
She can't write songs, is what I'm trying to say.
Ding dong, ding dong was mentioned ding quite dong. A lot.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it's the Wizarding World, but yeah, as I mentioned, it's a bloody big stocking to fit a broomstick in.
It really is.
Does
That's
that
a
constitute trousers?
Stocking. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you'll all agree that Morgan made that carol her own. So if you are listening, Rowling, or anyone from the audiobooks, do consider snapping her up. I was just background noise. But so yeah, anybody out there, if you don't recognise that song, go watch the films again. It sounded just like that. The next part is what... It's the most fun part of the episode, which I'll be looking forward to. And I know Morgan has, because Morgan loves Potter more than anybody. And it is, what would we buy the characters for Christmas game? So the main characters of the saga, if we had a few gold coins, what are we going to buy them? So we've got the same characters. And then at the end, we have a surprise for each other, which I don't know who Morgan's going to throw at me. She doesn't know who I'm going to throw at her. But God damn it, we're going to be throwing characters around. So... Firstly, Harry Potter himself. What are we going to buy? What is Morgan McGregor herself going to buy for Harry?
So I thought if I had a couple of galleons, I would buy him, A, some contact lenses and also some therapy sessions because, boy, does he need them.
Yeah, I went for a decent Christmas jumper and a holiday and a new broom as well because I was being nice. Get him a new firebolt. But, yeah, get him a holiday because, you know, Hogwarts is lovely and the surrounding areas are beautiful, but... You know,
he needs a beach somewhere.
Yeah, a few weeks in the sun, a few cocktails, you know what I mean? Go clubbing, you know, have a dance with some locals. It'd be fine.
That sounds lovely.
Who do we have next?
Ron. What would you buy Ron?
Again, a decent Christmas jumper, because God knows his mother, bless her, Molly Weasley, but she does make some bloody awful Christmas jumpers. I'd buy him a nice suit, a nice three-piece the trousers, blazer and waistcoat, of course, plus some peppermints and a big old steak and kidney pie to satiate his desire.
Oh, lovely. I would get him some of his own clothes that aren't hand-me-downs, definitely, and front row seats to the Chudley Cannons, his favourite Quidditch team.
Oh, that's a good one. I like the fact that we both went for clothes. Are we both insinuating that Ron Weasley isn't the most fashionable type?
It's not his fault.
He makes it work, though. I wouldn't be able to pull off. Some people can pull off thrift. Others can't.
Yeah, well.
I can't. Now, this is your one of your favourites, actually. Miss Granger, Hermione. What are you getting her?
I'm only getting her one thing, and that is a massive book depository gift card. Because I think that that's all she really needs in life, is more books.
That's really weird, because I also went for a book voucher.
She's too difficult to buy for because she's probably read all of the books you would want to get her.
She's the kind of like gift voucher type. You just say, have a gift voucher, get yourself something.
You're going to get that girl a book depository gift voucher or whatever else they have in England. I don't know.
Amazon will do.
Or what's the bookstore in Harry Potter?
Oh, no, the one with Gilderoy Lockhart. I can't remember. Anybody out there who's shouting on their podcast, shout louder so we can hear you.
Louder, because I want to buy her a gift voucher for there.
I'd also get her loads of candles, because I can imagine she'd like candles when she's reading. And also, possibly just I'd commission some artwork of Ron and Victor Crumb wrestling naked.
Ooh, very nice. Very classy. I like it.
Yeah, but classy naked. Not, you know, tackle out all over the place. Classy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Of course. Somebody who I don't want to see wrestling naked, well, maybe Jude Law, but Dumbledore! We're getting Dumbledore.
Yes. I am getting him one thing, and that's a non-magical mirror so that he can take a good, hard look at himself and his life choices.
You sound like you're disappointed of him.
No. What?
Yeah, I'd get him some new socks, because I know he likes socks. And a big bowl of sherbet lemon.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get a magical wizard of that ilk. What would you get him? So I quite like yours. I quite like the fact that you're not angry. You're just disappointed in him.
Just disappointed. Just take a look at yourself, Dumbledore. Come on.
You've been told, Dumbledore, by Morgan. Who's next?
Okay, it's Hagrid. Rubeus Hagrid. What would you get Rubeus Hagrid?
A spa session with Madame Maxime. That is what I'd get him, because their dance at the Yule Ball is, well, it's sensuous. It's seductive, what he would do to that woman. So I think a nice spa session, get them loosened up a bit, you know, get them in the right mood, get the gowns on, and then where the night takes them is up to them. But a nice spa session with Madame Max and a Stoke sandwich.
Oh, yeah, nice. I'm going to get him a cat, a Maine Coon, I think. I want to get him a cat. Because he's got a dog and he's got all these magical beasts, but I think he just needs a little fluffy thing to crawl up on his tummy.
Have you got a cat, Morgan?
I've got a cat. I've got a lovely cat named Bobby. And I think Bobby would be the ruin of Hagrid.
Would you Hagrid consider wouldn't giving him your cat?
No! No. But I would get him a Maine Coon. Nice, big, fluffy cat for my big, fluffy man, Hagrid.
Big, bearded Robbie Coltrane. This one's going to be interesting, because this one was, you may have found this easier, I don't know, but I found this one quite hard, and it's our boy, Draco.
I got him a 5-night stay at the Weasley house, so he could see what it's like for the other people.
How would that end?
Not well.
For who? all of them.
Everyone involved.
Imagine having to spend, well, I know you'd love to spend 5 nights with Malfoy, but imagine spending 5 nights with sort of Draco Malfoy as he's just coming into adulthood. Jesus.
Yeah, well, because technically they're family. They're like cousins twice removed or something. Just a 5-night stay with his old cousins.
Yep, wearing
help
Ron's
clean
clothes.
The house a little bit without any elves. Eat Molly Weasley's food. Listen to some conversation that isn't racist. Right. I like it, you know?
Well, I certainly agree with the not racist stuff. I'd like him to try some real food, yeah, and wear some real clothes for once. I went for something a bit more attuned to his style. And I'd get him a walking cane, not a walking stick, but a cane to perfect the look. Because firstly, I know that would drive Morgan wild. And also, can you just imagine him pompous in his way around, snooty, nose in the air, his cane?
Imagine a fucking child with a cane. It's like, what do you need that for?
No, exactly. And this is the coming from the Malfoy bloodline. I'm surprised he didn't have one in the films.
That's perfect. Yes. It would have to have like a snake or something as the head of the cane. With, like, some real, like, emeralds as the eyes or something.
Oh, yeah, I like that. So we've got a cane and a stay at the Weasleys. Who on earth is next?
Voldemort. Now, he was hard. The only thing I could think to get this guy was a nose.
Nosist.
He needs it. Whether or not he uses it is up to him, but...
So he can finally put off those Ray-Bans.
Yeah, yeah. Just in case he needs, like, a glasses prescription or something. I don't know.
He might be the Dark Lord, but I was sensitive. You know, I strayed away from the obvious, yeah? I thought, let's get him a new robe just to make him look more fabulous, more impressive. Because, you know, his garments are a bit moth-eaten. And, you know, if you're going to rule...
What fabric are you looking at, though? Like, are we thinking, like, a crushed velvet? Are we thinking, like, a silk? What are we thinking
subtle,
here? I need to give me
yeah,
the detail.
Classy. I'd like to think of a... in England, it'd be called a Cadbury purple. So a dark purple velvet robe with some sort of, with a gold trim.
Ooh, very
classy. But not too garish, though. Just a nice weaved, thin golden trim. Something which screams, I mean, I'm in control of my look and the world and the wizarding world.
Yes.
I think that would work. And it would also divert from the fact that he has no nose.
They're so busy looking at his robes that they just don't know.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He was quite hard because he's the Dark Lord, and I'm not sure he'd accept any. But the next one, our girl, Bellatrix Lestrange. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking a hot, steamy night with a guy who respects her.
Me.
No more chasing around with Voldemort. Actually, a night with a guy who cares about her. I think that'd be nice.
That's really quite sweet. I feel bad now. My first one was to knife that Slade Dobby. now I feel bad now.
it's a gift.
Yeah, but she was obviously happy to kill him, so...
I'm trying to better her. All my gifts are about bettering everyone, and you're like, nah, let her kill some people.
The blood of the house elf is still warm. But I also thought some abstract art, because I could imagine the manor could have some nice artwork, and some fine wine. To sit down and unwind with none of this cheap crap, but a nice wine with some beautiful artwork on the wall, just to change the decor up, the feng shui.
I'm trying to picture her sitting down and drinking wine, and I just can't see it.
In my head, I can sort of imagine. If you've seen her in Ocean's 8...
Yeah, but it's not Bellatrix!
Yeah, but it is Bellatrix, isn't it? Why can I not think of her name? Who plays Bellatrix?
Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, exactly. How she is there... Sort of the way she's kind of all kooky and offbeat. I'd imagine that's what she'd be like normally. Bellatrix.
No, Bellatrix, like, in her downtime, she's just, like, licking faucets and snorting cocaine or whatever the wizarding equivalent is.
Snorting Charlie off the knife that slayed Dobby.
Yeah. There you go. Or she, like, plays knife games and Russian roulette in her spare time. Yeah.
Gets pissed and beats peasants up. So, from somebody from the dark side, who's next? Who's next?
Ginny, which I found kind of difficult, actually.
Yeah.
What do you get the girl who's got the guy who lived?
A zipless dress. So she hasn't got to ask Harry really, really badly, zip me up, will ya? So something which you can just slip on. Obviously, the obvious answer is some chemistry, but a zipless dress for Ginny. How about you?
I got her front row seats to the Hollyhead Harpies, her favourite Wizarding Quidditch team and also the ones that she eventually plays for.
Yeah.
And a book of curses, because we all know that bitch can wave her wand.
You said that far better than I ever could.
Wave her wand.
I could never say that. Or the B word in general. I don't think I could say that. Yeah, I found her quite hard, because in the films, she's not... no disrespect to the actress, because she does a good job, but the character isn't portrayed as the most magnetic, shall we say.
No.
So it's quite hard. But no, as the actress herself has a fine job of what she is given. The next one is an Academy Award-winning actor plays this role. From the new films, Newt Scamander. What are you nooting for Newt?
Actually, I'm getting him the same thing I got Hagrid, which is a cat. I just feel like he'd love a cat. He's got so many magical beasts. I just want him to have a muggle one, and I think a cat would really, you know, cross that bridge of magical being and just a bit of... Oh, sorry.
That was a beep. You all know what she said.
I think that Newt would have a cat. I think a cat for Newt. It'd be hard to take it on all of his little adventures, but I think it'd be his maker. I think it would be his match, yeah.
Newt's getting a normal beast. I've gone for some of Jacob's pastries, because I'm not sure that he ever actually tried any in Fantastic Beasts.
Do you know what? I think you're right.
And they look good. And a nice photo of Tina as well. So get rid of that one of Lita. Have one of Tina, because God knows that she... Do you need to be with her and her salamander eyes?
Yep. I agree with that one.
And I've got to just harken back to the Crimes of Grindelwald episode. For those who listened to it, thank you for listening. I mentioned that I wasn't overly taken by the score, which I wasn't, but I liked the love theme, Salamander Eyes it's called. I could have called it something better. But the love theme which plays for Tina and Newt, I think, is a marvellous piece of music. Simple, but very effective.
I'm going to have to go re-listen to that.
Check it out on YouTube, Salamander Eyes. It's very simple, but it's just a really nice, touching, if you will, piece of music. And it works. When I went back to watch Crimes of Grindelwald for the second time, with a youngster in tow who cried at certain parts of it, which made me realise that, like I said, some parts of it were just too much for a, you know, kids film. But that's when I noticed more that the music, that particular song, fit more than the rest of the soundtrack. But that, I digress there, but do go check it out.
Well, speaking of Crimes of Grindelwald, what would you purchase Grindelwald himself?
A Colin Farrell mask.
Nice. I would personally like him to have a god.
Oh, so would I. I'd get him a diary, because it looks like he's going to be travelling around quite a lot over the next four films or whatever it is now, around the world, taking on his followers. And he also looks like a whiskey drinker, so probably a nice decanter of fine whiskey.
Very nice. I thought I would get him a copy of The Third Reich and a box of hair dye, because that shit ain't natural, mate.
No, but... yeah, okay, fair enough, yeah. what about another contact lens for his funny eye?
Yeah. Even that shit out of it. Maybe we could get him a time turner, because I don't know how he's going to get everything done in the next few films and cover how many freaking years of stuff?
18 years. Maybe we can get J.K. Rowling a time turner to think, shit, I could make this a bit more cohesive if I tried harder.
Yeah.
No cool. Disrespect for Rowling, because without her, we wouldn't have this podcast, but screenwriter, she ain't. And sticking with the Fantastic Beasts theme, Queenie! Lovely Queenie. What are you getting Queenie?
All I got her was one night without having to listen to the thoughts of everyone around her. She just looks like she needs a break.
One night to herself.
Yeah. Just a little bit of silence. Her own thoughts, maybe.
I had something fabulous. That was literally what I put. And also a sparkly strudel tin, because I like the way she offers strudel in the first film. I love strudel, and I'm thinking if she's going to concoct it with her magic, at least make it in a sparkly looking tin.
Yeah, something fabulous, darling.
Exactly, something fabulous, darling. And now is something which could go horribly wrong or horribly right. We're going to pick a character, or if Morgan has more than one, which we aren't necessarily prepared for. So, ladies first, who am I buying for that I don't know?
McGonagall, absolutely.
Oh, Minerva, what would I get her? She's a bit feisty, isn't she? A bit cheeky. I think I'd get her a a set of prank toys, start like whoopee cushions and that one, or things where she can go around and prank other people. Because firstly, because she's got that, I think she's got that streak to her where she's the one you don't expect, and she's got that sort of devilish grin. So yeah, like a childish prank kit.
Nice. And she could use that against what's her face, Umbridge. I think yes. She'd love like a whoopee cushion under Umbridge.
I'd like to see it as well, just to see her lighten up a bit. For you, this will probably come in as no surprise, but it's Severus Snape.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. Because I thought about him and then I was like, what do you even buy this guy? you've stumped me. Shampoo, for starters, obviously.
I thought his hair was full of life and vitality.
His hair is described as being greasy. So I'm going to go for shampoo.
No, okay.
And some self-respect.
Why is that? Because you wouldn't get him a photo of Lily or her diary or her undergarments.
No, I think he needs to move on.
Always needs to move on. What a holiday for Snape as well. He's had a bit of a tough time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he could go for a little, get a bit of colour on those cheeks.
Yeah, he's only spent 40, 50 years lusting over somebody else's wife and unrequited love.
Maybe I could get him like a subscription to Tinder Premium or something.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a premium.
Yeah, you can pay. I only know this because I went into a long-term relationship before Tinder, like about a month or so before Tinder became a thing. But apparently you can pay real money for, I don't know what you get out of it, but.
Yeah, what do you, because the whole point is you just left. I've never been on it, and I say that honestly. As far as I'm aware, you just go left or you go right. Where do you pay for? What do you pay for?
I think you pay for the opportunity, because I think you have a limited amount of people you can match with. And right. If you pay the premium, you can match with unlimited amounts of people, or you can like extend the region of people that you can match with, because you can only do it within a certain. I don't know, man. I don't know.
At the risk of alienating people, it all sounds a bit creepy to me, that being able to pry on more people.
That subscription are probably not the kind of people we want to meet, but.
No, so Snape, you're getting a Tinder premium package, so I hope you enjoy that. But I quite enjoy this game.
Okay, well, what would you get Moaning Myrtle?
Ooh.
And it can't be a dildo.
Oh, fuck. just a gentle stream of young men for her to pry on, basically. She can have like the. Well, I don't know what the real life premium, just male escorts who come in and bathe in her water, if ever, and just so she can get her kicks, basically. What would you get, Moaning Myrtle?
I would get her some nice new lingerie. Is that inappropriate for a 12-year-old, 100-year-old person?
Absolutely inappropriate, but you've gone there now.
Yeah, I've gone there. Okay. a statue of Harry Potter.
Okay, I'm talking about Moaning Myrtle here, and not you.
And a cleaner for her toilets, because I just feel like if she's spending so much time there.
If she's going to die in the U-bend or drag people in there, at least it's got to be hospitable.
Yeah. Nice and clean. Maybe a little bit of a fresh lemon scent.
Oh, yeah. It'll make the poo smell like lemon. Tina, we mentioned Tina. How could we forget Tina? What would you get Tina from the Fantastic Beasts saga?
I just want her to be an aura, but I don't think I can gift that.
I'm not sure you can, but I like the idea, like an IOU.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I'd get a VIP treatment at a nightclub, because God, she needs a girl's night away from those silly boys chasing after her.
Like a nice little mini black dress and some cocktails with the gals.
Exactly. No silly boys chasing their beasts chasing after her.
Oh, I can't think of anything I'd get Tina. I don't think I think about her enough. Maybe I'd get her like some nice makeup that would frame her salamander eyes. Like a nice brown eyeliner to really highlight the salamander in her eyes.
We could also get her some character development, maybe. JK Rowling, if you're listening. Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Rowling, but in these two films, it leaves a lot to be desired. This is who else have we missed out?
What would you get J.K. Rowling?
you first.
A time, Turner.
Yeah. A month away from Twitter, just to, you know, go back to the real world for a bit. Ooh, possibly a golden pen, just so she can, when she, I'd like to think she writes all of her screenplays, not rather than type them, just to, like, imbue her with that spirit of fun and adventure that the first few films had in the saga.
Magic quill would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would. Or, that's a really good, what would you get? The creator.
The creator. Yeah, other than a time turner, she could probably do with a little bit of reality. And I would say just give her the gift of, like, not feeling like she ever has to write another book.
Yep, the gift of taking the pressure away.
Yeah, take the pressure away. She built something so beautiful that just leave it there, you know? Yep,
I agree. That was a good question, actually, J.K. Rowling. What about Jacob?
Okay, so this is referencing the books, but... I said Mrs. Norris, which is his cat's name. Mrs. Norris's owner, he's a squib, and he gets a subscription to this school of magic that teaches squibs to have magic. So I'm assuming you could possibly teach a muggle magic. So I would get that for Jacob. So that he can become magical himself. Or a wand. Just get it started.
Just so he could play with it. I'd get him a beast of his own. Just a nice one. A little, just so he can feel part of the gang. Because he's hung around
a nifler, beast. It might be too much for him.
I'm having the damn nifflers. Right? I'm having them. I've gone through a whole episode without mentioning them. And now you've brought them up. All I can think of is their beaks now. Well, that lovely scene in... Grindelwald, where he's sniffing on the sidewalk. I love that scene.
You love me.
I know, his little bums in the air and his beaks on the floor. It's lovely. I suppose, because we can go on all night, let's do the last one. Let's go for Dudley.
Oh my god.
Dudley Dursley. Everybody's favourite.
I would also get him Five Nights at the Weasley's house. I think that would be A, hilarious for me to watch, but also B, perfect way to introduce him to magic and people who don't get everything they want whenever they ask for it. Just like Malfoy needs.
Imagine Draco and Dudley in the same vicinity for 5 days.
It would be like two people meeting themselves if they had been born in different lives.
That would be a brilliant saga. Or a sitcom.
It would be a sitcom, yeah.
Draco and Dudley, D&D, together. And the Weasleys pop in and out every now and then. It'd be great.
It'd be fantastic. We'd have to think of a name for it.
I don't know what I'd get him. A stress ball. You know, I don't know if you have them over there in New Zealand, but over here we have these little fun things where it's called Grow Your Own Girlfriend. You put it in water and it grows.
Does it work?
It's only for young kids. It's not really like an actual like blow up doll, but I'll get him a blow up doll. Which takes his mind off bullying Harry.
I would maybe get him some therapy sessions. I think he's got a lot to work through.
Yeah, he hasn't had the most open upbringing, shall we say. So yeah, maybe just like a membership to a club, a sports club or a reading book club or something. Get him out and about a bit.
Meet some new people.
Yeah, meet some girls, meet some guys and just have a good time with his life.
Yeah.
Okay, and got a shout out. I know you weren't the biggest fan of the film, but it's good to see young Melling, Harry Melling in The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. He's still out there. He's still acting on Broadway and in the West End, but it was good to see him in a major picture again. So good work, Harry.
Didn't work end up well for him or anything. But...
No, he was a paraplegic in the film to start with. So and then it kind of went...
Yeah, the end is kind of worse.
Yeah, but he does share a story with Liam Neeson, which I found such a strange pairing to think of, but it worked.
It did. It worked really well. I will say that enough for the film.
Yeah. But again, we could have an entire episode on on the misgivings of that film from the McGregor side. I thought it was good.
I was very drunk while I watched it, so I don't know how I strung through any intelligent thoughts. I'm not even sure I did, but...
She swore a lot. So that's what we would get the main characters for Christmas. Oh, actually, no. Whoa. Roll back, time turner. Brrrump. What are you getting, Luna? Your favourite of them all. How could we forget?
I would give her a cat too, a little black cat. I'm just gifting cats to everyone, I realise. But yeah. I would give her a
little
black
cat. You sound like a cat lady.
I am a cat. I would get her a little black cat, and she could have a companion. She needs a companion, and I think a cat would be a great one.
Okay, because I think she could impart some of her ways on the cat.
Yeah. Crazy cat. I'm just not getting her a crazy magical cat. I'm getting her like a
a normal cat.
She could name the cat Salem. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Yeah, but Salem spoke.
This one's not going to... Actually, no. Okay, in the new one, Salem doesn't speak.
I haven't seen that, so I can't
testify. It's tragedy. He only speaks to his familiar. Yeah, anyway.
Ooh, I don't like the sound of that.
That's a different witchy kind of show.
Yeah, not as good by the sounds of it. I'll just get her booze and gin. Just drink gin and just imagine what she'd be like. She'd be so much fun.
I reckon she doesn't drink alcohol.
I'd buy it for her, so she'd have to.
Fabulous parties, though.
Just imagine if she'd had a couple and just let loose a bit and was just dancing and having a great time. She'd be brilliant.
She'd be the belle of the ball.
Exactly. The life of the party. Also more funky glasses.
Nice. I like her with a cat.
Right, so you've gone for cats and I've gone for gin. So, two opposite sides there. So, that is what we thought. If anybody out there thinks any differently, let us know. Politely, of course. Or if there's any other character we've missed out, because I mean, let's face it, we could have gone on forever and ever. We could have got Cedric Diggory, a defibrillator. We could have got, what could we have got? What Sirius Black, Gilderoy Lockhart, a photograph for himself. There's so many people we could have done.
We really could have. It could have gone on forever.
I'm thinking about doing just an entire episode of this, just what would we buy said people.
I think everyone else should tell us who we should talk about, or what they would buy the people we've mentioned.
Yep, deal. So if anyone out there is listening and fancies getting in touch, please do, because it's always fun to hear from you. So, I mean, that's that for the main segment of the show now. So I guess it's only fair to ask, will you be watching any of the Potter films over Christmas?
Well, now that we've talked about it, I'm really feeling in the mood for it. It's just that Christmas is, 5 days away? 6 days away? It's Thursday here, so it's 5 days away, and I just don't know how much time I have. Maybe I will. Otherwise, I'm going to try and watch the Deadpool Christmas movie and that new Sherlock Holmes film, which looks average, but I still need to see it.
Holmes and Watson. By the time this episode's out, it'll be about four, UK time anyway, it'll be about 4 days before Christmas, 3 days before New Zealand. So I'm going to try to, and I don't always gravitate towards that first film just because, as detailed in our episode about it, child actors annoy me sometimes, and there are parts of it which just grate me. But for the fantastical Christmas side of it, I might just stick it on or check out when it's on ITV over here and just watch it. I'm certainly going to watch one of them, and I know I'm going to be listening to the soundtrack at some point for those Christmassy tunes. So I'm going to be listening, watching at least, and I'm sure the people out there listening will be watching.
Yes. I mean, I wish we had it playing around Christmas time, but we usually have it playing around winter time because, you know, it's summer right now, so like snow and stuff doesn't really make sense for us to watch.
It's still amazing that it's, I'm going to digress, but winter here, summer on the other side of the world, it's obvious how it works, but it still bends my head.
Yeah, it's boiling hot right now.
Yeah, it's not here, it's cold over. It's not snowing yet, but hopefully it will be by the time Christmas hits. So I mean, that's that for this episode of Pottercast. Firstly, I've got to say thank you very much once more, Morgan, for giving your time.
That is absolutely my pleasure.
No problem. What, anything planned for the Christmas period?
Absolutely gorging myself on food, pretty much.
And what do you guys have over there for your main meal?
Usually it would be like a Christmas ham and some potatoes, however anyone cooks them. And usually pavlova is a must. Like,
oh, God, yeah.
Because we invented pavlova. I don't care what Australia tries to say. They can steal the Finn brothers off us, but they cannot steal pavlova. We invented it. You put kiwi fruit on it. Therefore, it's a kiwi food. And it's pavlova. Pavlova, man. Ham,
screw you, Australia.
Pavlova, and fuck Australia.
Yeah. By the Finn brothers, do you mean Neil Finn and his brother?
Oh, yeah, Crowded House.
Thank God for that, I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Neil Finn's voice. I think he's got a great voice. Okay, I just never knew, because we have obviously turkey over here and everything else, but I wonder what they had down under. That's
my
impression.
Some people do turkey, but I mean, yeah, it's more of a big Christmas ham. Like, a lot of businesses will gift their employees a giant Christmas ham around Christmas time.
I'm in the wrong context. I'm in the wrong hemisphere then.
I'm happy because I prefer a Christmas ham over a Christmas turkey. So.
I don't have anyone for my work list, and then I want ham before I leave next week.
Start a trend of just, it's so hard to buy a Christmas ham around this time in the supermarket, so it's great when you get one from your boss. So you should just start a trend in the UK.
I will. I'm going to go in tomorrow and demand a ham and see where it gets me.
I demand ham.
I demand a Christmas ham. They have it down under. Well, we mentioned the socials. Where in the world can the world find you?
You can mostly find me mostly active on Morgan Louise McGregor on Instagram, but I do occasionally blog at manicpixiefilmgirl.com, which is often neglected, but shouldn't be.
Often neglected, never bettered. It's a wonderful blog. Yeah, go check out the social. You'll learn a lot about your own life just by checking out. You can find us at whatiwatchtonight.co.uk across all the socials. Just follow that handle. Any podcast providers you'll hear this episode on, because you already are. But we're out there now for the whole world. If you like the show, tell other Potterheads out there. There's a show where two people just come together and just talk Potter. Every aspect, the good, the bad, the middling, the Jacobs, the Nifflers, everything about it. So if you do like it, share it, review it on iTunes, let other people know. If you don't tell anyone, because it really isn't helpful to anyone. But so from me, everybody out there, have a wonderful Christmas and a brilliant New Year. And until next time, see ya. And from Morgan,
goodbye.
Vlogging.